The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
If everybody has a Bible, turn with me to Luke 6, verse 12. I'm going to endeavor to share a shorter word today. This is going to be a challenge. Please turn your cell phones off, whoever would, and your beepers and your satellite radios and your Game Boys. And okay, Luke 6:12. I want to share with you something this morning. A few weeks ago, we looked at these verses talking about the power and the need for solitude and intimacy with Jesus. We're going to take it a little bit further today. Luke 6:12. It came to pass in those days that Jesus went to a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And it was day, he called to him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And he goes ahead and names them all 12 of them. And then verse 17, he says, and he came down with these 12, and he stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea, Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. In other words, he not only healed diseases, he cast out demons. And the whole multitude sought to touch Jesus, for there went virtue out of him. That word virtue is the word power. Dunamon, there was power flowed out of Jesus. And the King James over here reads, he healed them all. That means every single person that was sick, every person that was demonized was healed that day. How many of y'all would like to have been in that prayer meeting? That's phenomenal. Well, there's a significant teaching found in these few verses. And first we see, as I shared a few weeks ago, it starts out with solitude. Jesus started the day, as it were, on the mountaintop with his Father. He basically, all night. And, you know, the Jewish day begins at sunset. So basically, he began the day communing in intimacy with God. And we talked about that teaching titled Everything Flows from a Secret Relationship with God. It was a few weeks ago. If you're interested, it's tape number 1128. And what's interesting is this story literally flows from night to morning to afternoon. It starts out the nighttime, and Jesus is spending all night praying to God. Now, in the morning, when he comes down from the mountain, you notice he gathers his followers. All of his disciples are there. And then he forms an intimate community from the followers. He literally, apparently he'd known them long enough to develop relations with them, you know, got to where he was able to discern of these massive amount of followers, a basic core that would really be committed. He was looking for committed ones. In this mass of disciples, he was looking for people that would be committed to him. You know, a lot of people that followed Jesus followed him, but not to be committed to him, but they followed him because of what they could get out of it. Yeah, you know, you remember the story in John 6, how Jesus came and they wanted to make him a king, and then he fed them, he multiplied the bread and loaves, and he rebuked them. He says, you follow me for the signs. And the Lord was looking for people that were looking for something other than signs, people that were committed to him for who he was, to know him. So apparently he found a small group that he actually pulled them out. He was pulling disciples from the multitude and commissioning them to be with him. And I mean, it was a high calling. They literally were going to drop everything and follow him day and night the next couple of years. And then what's interesting, after he created the intimate community, then he went forth with those community and began to move in signs and wonders. Then he went back into the multitudes, not only the disciples, but the multitudes itself, and he began to minister in signs and wonders, significant signs and wonders. I mean, we're talking deliverance. Now, you know, I've been in meetings like this where there's mass deliverance. And, you know, that's why I believe the reason he had these 12 is he needed some help. If you start doing deliverance, you know, how many of y'all believe Jesus did all the work himself for each person that day? If there were 1,000 people there, there's no way. I believe he had his disciples. How many of y'all believe he had his disciples helping him? I mean, they were assisting him. He would probably, you know, begin to healing, and demons would begin to manifest, and they would go out and deal with that and participate in casting out the demons. Like I shared just a month or so ago, I was in Guatemala City with Norman Parrish. There were about 10,000 people at this meeting. And Norman was running the meeting, and there was about 5 of us with him. And it was all in Spanish. and he began to cast demons out from the pulpit. Now, this was do mass deliverance, and this was a church that normally doesn't move in deliverance, and particularly invited Norman to do it, because he was kind of the apostle over the whole work. Kind of its origins were coming out of his ministry. So he began to command these demons to come out in Spanish. And I didn't know what he was doing, but all over, as I looked around the crowd, people were flipping out, manifesting demons all over the place. It was wild. And so I'm out there helping out, not knowing a single word in Spanish, going, Vamos! And out of nombre de Jesus, Vamos! And it was working. Demons were coming out. I don't know what they were. And but as I looked around, the five of us, or probably about 10 more, joined us. We were all, literally, I had one hand on one person, another hand, and a foot over here praying for that person. So God did mighty things that day. Praise God. And I believe it may have very, very similarly happened here. That it says, they that were vexed with unclean spirits were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, and there went power out of him, and he healed. Now, like I shared a few weeks ago, it started with solitude. Jesus had to spend time alone with his Father to start the day. Okay? Did you know we reflect outwardly what we are inside? If you start the day restless, what are you going to have a day like? If you start the day kind of out of sorts, unresolved about issues, your whole day is going to be messed up. So the Christ sets a pattern here. Start the day out with him. You know, and I harp on that all the time. One of the most important things of our life is a quiet time, a morning time. I mean, the pattern all the way from Adam and Eve on up is to get and seek the Lord in the morning. Amen? Amen? I mean, if you come around this church anytime, you're going to hear that and hear that. It is the best way to start the day, to discipline yourself. And, you know, if you just get up and just spring out of bed and just be about your business and you don't take time to spend time with the Lord first thing. Folks, I submit by midday, you're going to be dragged out. Or you're going to find yourself getting into all kinds of things you ought not. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? And I think seek first means just that. Seek first. First. Some people say, well, I just got to have a cup of coffee to make it. Right? Well, it ought to be, I need to have a quiet time. I need to have a time of stillness. Praise God. So here's the thing. Notice it was solitude, peace, union, communion, and intimacy with the Father, security in that. Then he formed community. Then he formed the environment of people fellowshipping, the discipleship. I wrote here in my notes, we have to have a firm foundation in solitude to really live in community. To really live in community with others, you've got to have a place of solitude with Jesus. Y'all believe that? You've got to come from a place of stability and strength and intimacy with the Lord. Then you can live with people. People are really tough to be around. How many know that? You know, you can be tough to be around. Huh? People around you need quiet times just to put up with you. Can I admit? Yeah. Yeah, really. Is that right? I'm asking his wife. She says yes. She has a 2-hour quiet time to put up with you. And so the beautiful picture is coming out of intimacy. He could create community. Now listen to this. True community exists only to the degree that each member has a foundation in personal intimacy. I'm going to say that again. True community of Christians exists only to the degree each member has a foundation in personal intimacy. If one person in the community doesn't have a foundation in intimacy with the Lord, they're going to drag in stuff that can be to the detriment of everybody else. Are you hearing me today? They're going to carry in spirits. We have one of the reasons in our Koinonia groups, our covenant community groups, we have a covenant agreement. And there's a reason behind this. And it's this. One of the covenant agreements is you must spend, it is a law, you must spend 30 minutes a day with Jesus minimum. Now that's not too grievous a law, but the reason we made that rule was if someone cannot spend just 30 minutes a day quiet with Jesus, okay, then when they do get with their brothers and sisters in their sharing time, which we only have 3 meetings a month, there are 3 Koinonia meetings a month, they're 2 hours long, what will happen is everybody's going to end up ministering to that person every time they get together, pulling them out of the slime. See what I'm saying? If they don't have a basic time, it's analogous to this. You must every day brush your teeth. That's a law. Parents, do you teach your kids to brush your teeth? What happens if you don't brush your teeth? After a while, you're pretty hard to be around. Your breath stinks. You open your mouth, you have multicolored teeth or no teeth. So you must have the personal hygiene to be around others. Quiet times, intimate solitude is spiritual hygiene. So we believe that you have to establish that in order to, then when we come to small groups, you're not coming so much, meet my needs, help me, I'm drowning. You're coming because you have something to give. Can you understand? I'm not saying that there aren't times you don't need prayer and you may be drowning, but you're drowning in spite of your intimacy, not because of your lack of intimacy. Now, before we had Koinonia years ago, we had a group called Home Fellowship Groups, and a lot of churches have these home fellowship groups, where they would have particularly couples would come together, but there would be no requirement of disciplines in their walk. And as a result, a lot of the group ended up being ministering to people's basic core needs. And I figured out one day, I said, you know, this is silly. These people, they're disciples. They ought to have some kind of substance within them during the week to learn how to brush their own teeth spiritually. Learn how to walk and chew gum. So when they come to give, not to take. Can I amen? We're about calling people to grow up, to be disciples. And what we found is by separating the groups, where you have men's groups and ladies' groups, you can get far deeper and deal with far more things. Can I amen? So, again, true community exists only to the degree that each member has a foundation of personal intimacy. Otherwise, a small group is going to be a dependent therapy group. It'll turn into therapy. And I don't believe in that. Hallelujah. So, after spending time with the community disciples, as you notice, he chose out 12 followers, specific followers, and I wrote here, true Christian community, listen, is a divine prerequisite for effective ministry. Notice, Jesus did not go in ministering signs and wonders to the multitudes until he had a core group support. He had to have a support basis around him to support him. Even as it was when I was in that meeting with Norman. You know, when he began to, I asked him, demons were you speaking to this church that all these people were screaming, you know, and manifesting? He says, just witchcraft and perversion. Well, you know, that's what they need. Of course, we don't have those problems here in America. Amen? But he began to command these demons to come out. But, you know, had he not had this core of people around him, you know, they'd been flapping around like fish. And, Norman did tell me about a meeting he did in Mexico City. He said there was a meeting, he and his son were there, and he did this mass deliverance, and it was about 2,000 pastors. And the pastors were supposed to have their act together. But he began to come against witchcraft. He says, the demon just manifesting all over the place, screaming. And I said, what'd you do? He said, this was cool. He said, it was just me and my son, Dario. He said, I just asked the Lord to send angels and take care of it, because I didn't have any people. He said, and they did. He says, it was really wild. When he asked the Lord to send angels, after about 2 minutes, people began to, the demons would come out. He could see the angels of God working. He said, but you know, that was an exception. The Father would prefer that we have disciples to do it. You know, God was merciful to him that day. God's called us. The angelic actually looked down to see, but we're the ones privileged to do the works of Jesus. Get out of man. You know, it's in true Christian community that you can genuinely lose your life, listen, and find it in the context of others. The reason I'm talking about community is I believe there's a difference between communal living and community. I have a communal living in situation. There are five individuals, gentlemen, live with my wife and I. There are a number of people here in the church have folks living with them. But community speaks of not necessarily a living arrangement, but people who are sharing their lives and are open and bonded of one mind and one heart. Amen? So I believe God wants us to be a community of people, whatever particular living arrangement you have, but that you've opened your life and are accountable. There's an accountability. There's a submission to authority. I absolutely believe the only way you're ever going to be mentored and grow up in Christ is you've got to be under authority. This city is full of people out doing their own thing like bunny rabbits, hopping around, not growing in Christ because they're not being mentored. Mentorship is the way of discipleship in the Bible. Moses mentored who? Hello? Elijah mentored who? Christ mentored who? Apostle Paul mentored who? Timothy and Titus. Mentorship is the way. It says in Titus that let the older women train the younger women. There's the principle of authority and submission. When you understand submission, you understand the secret to the power of the Lord. I'm serious. If you don't understand submission, you'll never understand power. Because in 1 Corinthians where it talks about the women ought to have power in their head because of the angels, when you really understand what he's saying, the angelic beings as well as the demonic beings, there's all kinds of a kingdom of authority and submission in the angelic world. You know that? Cherubim and seraphim and the same thing in the demonic world. Satan has a kingdom. Christ talked about Satan's kingdom. Yet here in the kingdom of men, so many are doing their own thing. And we wonder why there's no power. It was only when the centurion, Christ said, you know, I can't come. No, he didn't say I can't come. He said, my servant is sick. He said, but just say the word and it'll be healed because I'm a man under authority and I know how this thing works. This is Matthew 8. I'm under authority and I know because I'm under authority, those under me obey my commands. He said, and Christ said, whoa, this guy has great faith. He understands the power of faith. The key to everything is to be submitted to the authority of Jesus through your brothers and sisters, through elders and pastors and spiritual leaders. For he that is faithful in that which is another man's, until he's faithful, that which is, who shall give him that which is his own? He that's faithful little be faithful in the much. Amen? Can that amen? This is true stuff. And I see people, folks, I've seen people have been in deliverance, discipleship for many, many years, and I've seen people never ever grow. And they'll come around for decades and never really grow because they never get the authority thing. They're still fighting mommy and daddy issues. Hello? That you got to die. It's only in the iron sharpens iron environment that you ever grow to where you can be released to do signs and wonders in ministry. But some people still fight mommy and daddy issues. You know how you know you have an issue from your childhood against mom or dad? You may have a good relationship with your dad. Maybe you grew up with a bad relationship with your dad. There's a lot of abuse. Or maybe your mom. And maybe you've gotten to the point now that you've dealt with those things, you've reconciled with them, you've forgiven them. But do you know how you know you still have an issue? Now listen carefully. You know how you know you still have an issue? If you have an authority and you have a lot of resentment towards that authority. Are you hearing me? Whether it's a woman or a man, if people people in this church have resentment against me, it doesn't mean I don't mess up and won't warrant it. But a lot of times, I'm not your problem. Are you hearing me? I'm not your problem. Neither is your koinonia leader. Your problem is you. Hello? Because a lot of times we project to our authority, which is unresolved in us, from mommy and daddy issues. I've taught a lot about this, and it's curses, and it's really a blessing, because what you need to do is rather than look and judge one over you and say, well, they this and hey this, say, Lord, what is it in me, what button in me is being pushed by that portion of their personality? And pull the wiring out of me so that however they are, I'll respond to them in unconditional love. And I'll turn the other cheek and love them unconditionally. Can I amen? That's maturity. And you know, when you really understand that your authority is nothing but a blessing to you to finally, so you can see the unresolved issues in you, so you can deal with them so Christ can promote you. And yet so many people run out from under authority and they run from here and run there. And guess what? You can run, but you cannot hide, because God's going to send somebody else and that thing's going to manifest again and again and again and again. Sad thing is you get 75 years old, maybe 80, and you finally deal with it. Well, folks, okay, you're 80, but, you know, it's like finally getting out of college at 78. Well, that's a tough time to start looking for a job, right? Who's going to hire you? I mean, deal with these things. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, deal with them when you're young. When you're young, deal with these issues. Amen. And God put me under a series of authorities that reminded me of my dad. I actually did a graph once on an overhead. I literally had a graph with the initials of my authorities, and I showed. They reminded me of my dad, all these authorities. And you know, when I finally began to deal with these dad issues in me, and the resentment and the hurt and the pride in me, and began to get some deliverance, you know, it's amazing, my authorities began to shift. And I had benevolent authorities that didn't remind me of my dad. And then, it's interesting, Norman Parrish, who is my pastor, does at times remind me of my dad. He does. But what's really cool is I have a relationship with him where I'm totally comfortable. I can be totally myself. We have a good friendship. Praise God. That's a lot of years. And you know that? I test the caliber of my growth in Christ. You know how I test it? When I'm with my authority, how comfortable I am to be under his covering at peace. I don't trust any other barometer but that. When I'm around the man that I'm submitted my life to, am I at peace with him? Am I submitted to him? Am I open to him? And I'm not judging him in any way. Are you hearing me this morning? This is the truth, folks. I've been in this thing over 3 decades. I'm telling you, it's the truth. And people that never deal with this and stay in places of rebellion, the rebellious dwell on a dry land. And you'll spend decades and you'll run. And I'll tell you, you can run, but the Holy Ghost is going to break that pride in you. But when you finally break, then he'll open up and out of that alabaster box will flow that anointing. And God will release you and God will give you all that you dream of. Ironically, the very thing you want is right in front of you. If you just let go of the control and let Jesus be Lord. Somebody said, well, I submit to Jesus. He's Lord. It's just all these clowns, these other people. They drive me nuts. They're all sinners. I said, well, let me find you the perfect person to submit to. Have y'all found one yet? I have a few flaws left. My wife tells me about them. More than a few. But praise God, I know this. I know this, that I can tell you, I'm submitted to one, just like that centurion. And I know because I'm under authority, I have authority. And I don't have any problem wielding it because I know what's going to set the captives free. You got to die, folks. It's iron sharpens iron environment that it really happens. The mommy and daddy issues have got to be dealt with in your life if you're ever going to grow in Christ. But the good news is this. You know what the good news is? Is there's a day Jesus wants to get you. Whatever you do works. Whatever you ask in my name, you shall have because you keep the commandments and are pleasing to God. God wants you to be in the place that whatever you do works. When you lay hands on the sick, they're healed. When you pray for something, it happens. The spiritual Midas touch. Who wants that? Amen? Is it worth it? You've got to go to the cross. You've got to die. You've got to face the thing you've been running from more than anything in your life. It's you. It's our greatest enemy, ourself. But when you can look down the barrel of self, take a deep breath, let the Lord plunge the knife in and deal with the pain and deliver you and get on the cross, then there's Easter morning, the resurrection power. See, what ministry is, listen, ministry needs to be more, this is in conclusion here, hey, I am winding this thing up soon, man. We're talking miracle of the highest order here. Ah, Lord, no, well, this is the first conclusion. But I put my Bible down. See, that's a good sign. Okay. When I put the Bible down, I can't go too much further. But ministry, listen, ministry is really, are you ready? It's who you are and not what you do. It's not what you do. It's who you are. Because who you are is what ministers to people. You can do all kinds. How many of y'all know people that do things and yet the fruit of the Spirit's not there? You don't. All kind of religious, kind of, where Jesus wants you to be a ministry. Housewives and kids and teenagers, wherever you are, out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water and power. And that wherever you are, whatever station in life, God wants to use you to be the center, the fountain of life to those around you. To speak a word in season to those who are weary. Can I amen? How many of y'all want that? How many of y'all willing to let the Lord do whatever he's got to do? Okay. Let's put that a little fine. How many are willing to let the Lord put in your life, whoever he has to put? How many are willing to submit? How many are willing to submit? Oh, here's the key. How many are willing to deal with those mommy-daddy issues? Come on. We all got them. And you know how you can tell you got them? How can you tell you got them? Look at the one, it may be your boss. It may be still mom and dad. Wives, it may be your husband. Kids, obviously, it's your parents, mommy, daddy issue. It may be your small group, it may be your pastor, whoever it is, authority, look up and say, what is it about them, drives me nuts, pushes buttons inside of me, and then say, Lord, what's the real issue here? Where is it, what am I projecting? Where's the real resentment, inner vows, judgments, or whatever's deep down inside my psyche, that you put this person over me as a blessing so that I can finally deal with those issues, get free, and grow up in Christ, and be used of God. Let's all stand. You know, I believe after every time there's a sharing of the word, we ought to have a response. So I would like you right now, if you're willing, to pray this prayer with me. You ready? Jesus, I want to be one of the ones that you chose to spend time with you, that got to be involved in ministry with you, got to be in the inner court with you. I don't want to be one on the outside, just eating bread, living my own life. I want to be a disciple. And not just see signs and wonders, but experience setting the captives free. But Jesus, you have to do something in me to get me to the point where I'm really effective for you. So Lord, this morning, I make a commitment to you to deal with the issues that I might have been running from, or blaming, or judging, or hiding, or making excuses. Lord, I want to get on the cross so you can deliver me, and I can grow up, and I can be in the place that you can trust me with power and signs and wonders, and a miraculous life, a supernatural life, an overcoming life. So I thank you right now. I want you to say this. I thank you for all the authorities in my life. I want you to thank him right now, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a boss, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a small group leader, whether it's your pastor. Thank the Lord. Come on, give him thanks. And ask the Lord to forgive you for any judgments. Say this, Lord, forgive me for any judgments or evil speaking that's gone down in my heart. Forgive me, Lord. Show me the real problem. Lord, show me those issues of unresolved in my soul against previous authorities, so I can truly be submitted to the ultimate authority, in Jesus as Lord. And I pray all this in the precious name of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that you look down. If we sang that song, I Surrender, that you graciously would bless. Holy Spirit, Lord, grab a hold of our hearts. Grab a hold of our hearts, Lord. No dark power would in any way deceive us, Lord. But our eyes would be on the truth that would set the captives free, Lord. Set us free. I pray you for freedom for people in this group, Lord, in levels we've never known before. Lord, you'd open doors that have been shut and just the locks have been rusted shut. Lord, just you sovereignly open those doors. Breathe fresh life, fresh wind, portions of our personality, Lord, that have been stale. Come, Holy Spirit. We just thank you. Lord, I pray protection now as we go our way this morning, this afternoon, Lord. Protect us. Bless our fellowship together, Lord. Protect us this week and our automobiles and our health. Just put your angels about each one, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. And everybody said.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.